If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be at the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. I want to read from verse 29 to 37 is what I got here. The next day, John seeth Jesus, this is John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And then again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I'm just going to stop right there. Those who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ have one message only. And that message is that Jesus is the Christ. Look unto him. Look unto him. John the Baptist cried what? Behold the Lamb of God. And our message is exactly the same. Hopefully. Look unto Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. That's my title today, Paul. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And in verse 36, and looking unto upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Now, let's just be very, very clear from the beginning, in case there's any doubt anywhere with anybody. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. There is no other. He is the Lamb of God. And Jesus Christ is the one who took away all the sin that was taken away. All the sins that were taken away, he's the one that took them. And there is no forgiveness of sin in any other, including yourself or your works. Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Excuse me. The scriptures say plainly, he took our sins in his own body on the tree. On the tree. You see, the Lord, it also says this, the scripture says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. Understand, any place in the scripture where it talks about sin being taken away, sin being forgiven, it is always, always, always particular. Particular. People like to make it out like it's this broad thing. Jesus took away all the sins of all the people in the world. And the scripture never states that. It states the exact opposite. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And you have to look at the context to see who he's writing about. But he's writing about believers. I'll tell you that right now. He's writing about the elect. those who shall believe when God reveals himself to them. The Lord made him to be sin. Made him to be sin. What? Who knew no sin. He had no sin of his own. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, Jesus is the Christ. And here's the thing, Paul tells us later, Christ is our Passover. Now, if you remember back, you don't have to turn there, but if you remember back to Exodus 12, there's a little progression there in Exodus chapter 12. In verse 3, it tells you to take a lamb. That's the instructions to Moses from God. Take a lamb, right? And then in the second, in verse 4, it tells you to count for the lamb the family in the household. So we went from a lamb to the lamb. And then in verse 5, he says this, your lamb shall be without blemish. So we went from a lamb, which is good, which is good. Then we go to the lamb, which is glorious. But here it is, folks. He doesn't stop there. He goes to your lamb, your lamb. And you know what that is? That's grace. That's grace. The Lamb of God is also your lamb. The Passover, Christ is our Passover, is your lamb. When you heard the gospel of your salvation, then you come to know that the Lamb of God is your Lamb. Your Lamb. I like that. I do. Because you understand, like I said, a Lamb is great, the Lamb is glorious, but your Lamb makes it personal to every single child of God. And if he's not your Lamb, you have no hope right now. If he's not your lamb, is this Jesus, the Christ, the Lamb of God, your lamb? That's the question. And here's the answer. Behold the Lamb of God. I can call him my lamb. I can call him that. Can you call him your lamb? If you can, that's grace. That's grace. That's glorious. Now, let's be clear. To behold the Lamb of God, you must behold him as he is. Not as you want him to be. Not as people say that he is. As he actually is. And for that, we have this evidence right here in this book. In the scripture. In the Bible, this is the sole authority of who Jesus Christ is. And it's very clear, because here's my point. Jesus Christ is never up to the imagination of man. You understand? What think ye of Christ better be based on this book. It better be in this book. Who is this Lamb of God? John tells us to behold the Lamb of God. Well, I'm going to go through some things. John chapter 2 and verses 13 to 16. And maybe some people don't know a lot about this, but here it is. John chapter 2. I went too far. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. You You remember that song? Earl used to quote every now and then, "Sweet little Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child." The same man went out and made a whip when he saw what they were doing in his father's temple. This temple was to be a place of worship. They turned it into a livestock market. They turned it into a flea market. They turned it into a place of merchandise. They were selling animals. Now, don't get me wrong. I know some people traveled to get to Jerusalem to go to the temple. You understand? It would not be unheard of for them to buy a goat or a dove or a sheep to have to offer. But you don't do it in the temple. You do it outside. And that's what Christ did. But Christ was so upset by this, he actually made a scourge, a whip, and drove them out of the temple. That's not exactly what you would call meek and mild. But I can tell you this. It was entirely and completely the right thing to do because our Lord Jesus Christ did it. Or did it. Here, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. I had a man tell me one time years ago that he had never heard of this. Now, he also had told me when he was a young man, he was studying to be a preacher, but he had never heard of this account until he saw it on a TV show of all things. Because he asked me about it the next day. I didn't watch the show. But he asked me about it. He said, "Hey, is that in the Bible where Jesus made a whip and run the people out of the temple?" I said, "Yeah, it's in there." Yeah. So some big studying to be a preacher when you were a youngin'. But anyhow, I never knew that. I said, "Sorry, it's been in there the whole time." As a matter of fact, it's still there. But people don't talk about it. People don't preach it. You understand? He did tell that woman at the well, "You worship ye know not what." And here's the thing, he could have said it of a lot more people than he did. The Lord of glory, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lamb of God, drove these people out of the temple. What did it say? He cleared out the marketplace they had put in the temple. And here's the thing, what I want to tell you, if you don't know this account, behold the Lamb of God. This is Him. This is Him. Just as much as when He fed the 5,000, this is Jesus Christ. This is the Lamb of God driving those people. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Here it is. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth what? Evil things. Evil things. Oh my. These words were spoken by the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ to the most religious people on earth at that time. These words were spoken to the Pharisees, the Jewish Pharisees. A good man speaks out of the good treasure of his heart, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And what did he say? What? How can ye, being evil, speak good things? And then he told them, you can't. You can't. And he called them a bunch of poisonous, deadly snakes. Oh, my. He called them a generation of poisonous, killing snakes. How do snakes kill? With their fangs. With their mouths. They bite and people die. And how can you, being evil, speak good things? You can't. If the blind lead the blind, they're both going to end up in the ditch. They weren't aiming for the ditch. They did not want to be in the ditch, but that's where they're going. Why? Because those that are evil, out of an evil heart, bring forth evil things. And it's the way it is. He called them evil. You understand? I don't know that anybody's ever preached that outside of grace preachers, that Jesus Christ called some people evil to their face. Because don't you know, God is love. He loves everybody. Except for those he don't. But they don't want to bring that part up. He called people evil. And you know why he called them evil? Because they were evil. Ah. What do I say to that? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He said other things to other men. Let's see. Matthew 23. Verse 13. Matthew 23, verse 13. Oh, yeah. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Here it is. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? I'm not going to go on any farther. Don't need to. Behold the Lamb of God. You understand? He knows you are a hypocrite. He knows what and who is in the hearts of every man. He knows if you have an honest and good heart, because if you have an honest and good heart, he gave it to you. He gave it to you. And he knows if you don't. And it is written. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus knew their thoughts. But he, knowing their thoughts, answered them. You understand? Some of these people asked him a question, and he answered the question that they weren't asking. And it drove them crazy, and it made them mad, and they wanted to kill him. What did he say to that? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He, knowing their thoughts. I don't know if I told you all this or not. I think I told you, Paul. It might have been afterward, after service one day. I may have said it. Here it is. Debbie was watching a TV show. It was around Easter time, okay? And it was about the life of Jesus. And they were dramatizing some of the events in the gospel. And then they would talk to people in between these scenes that they did. And there was a fellow that came on after one of these scenes, and I really got tickled. It stuck with me, okay? Because this guy said, you know, or do you know, that the Gospels were written by, this man said, the Gospels were written like the Pharisees were the bad guys. And I still looked at Deb, of course, and told her, well, or maybe it could be that the Pharisees were the bad guys. But But no, it was just written like they were the bad guys, you know? Here's the thing. Jesus Christ said so. These scribes, these Pharisees, they were hypocrites. Jesus Christ spoke truthfully always. He spoke truly. Verily, verily, they were fakers. They were actors. That's what a hypocrite means. The word hypocrite was used for the word actor in a play. They were fakers. He said it in one place. This people, he's quoting the Old Testament, I know. These people honor me with their lips. But what? Their hearts are far from me. That's a hypocrite. And that's what these people were. And that's why Jesus Christ called them a hypocrite. They were, here's the word, dishonest. Maybe even to themselves. You understand? Never underestimate the power of self-deception. You can think you're right and be wrong just as bad as you think you're right. And these men, they were dishonest. But here it is, right here. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He sees the thoughts and intents of the hearts of every man. Here's another one. It's in Matthew 26:53. See, this is the words of Jesus Christ when they came to pick him up after Judas had betrayed him. And he's telling his disciples, 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. But here, verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. They did not take Jesus Christ against his will. They did not. They did not. He told his disciples, if I wanted to, I could stop this right now. Right now. What? With a word. That's all it took. When they came to him and they said, we're looking for Jesus, and he said, I am. And they all fell back down on the ground. It's not that they went back. No, it said they fell back on the ground. He had the power then. They were taking him by wicked hands to be crucified and slain. But it was according to what? According to God. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God the Father and Jesus Christ. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. What? Behold the Lamb of God. You know, I could stop this right now. I could pray to my Father. He'd send 12 legions of angels. But I'm not going to do it. Because for this cause came I unto this world. This cause came I into this world as a man. And this is the way I'm going to go out. And they meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. God meant it for good. The man Jesus of Nazareth was God and is God. And by him all things consist. And by him all things consisted while he was walking on this planet. Oh, I like that. And by him all things were made that were made. What? They were made by him, and they were made for him. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. I like that. Angels move at his command. But here's the other part of that. Angels don't move at his command. Oh, I like that. I do. He was and he is God manifest in the flesh, and his word is the word of God. Why? Because he is the Lamb of God. Because the Lamb of God is God. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, those three or four incidents there, those events I talked about, I know some people might consider them mean. But as far as all the truth that I just read out of the Scriptures and what I said about it, I hope, it's all good. It's all good. All things happen together for good to them that love God. And everything in here, driving out the money changers and all that. Some people might consider some of that stuff mean, calling people a bunch of snakes, woe unto them and calling them hypocrites. They might consider it mean, but Jesus Christ said it, and it's good. That's what it is. It's good. Because just because people consider it mean, all that means is that people are wrong. And they are. I understand men may consider these things to be mean, but I do want to tell you some things that some people might consider nice. But they're not nice. They're just good. They're just good. Think about this. There are two people. Let me see. Two people in the Scriptures whom Jesus Christ himself said they had great faith. And here's the thing. Very strange thing. Both of them were Gentiles. First one was the Canaanite woman. Now, this is a woman who came to Christ on behalf of her daughter. Her daughter was vexed with a devil. And Jesus ignored her at first. And he told her, when he did speak to her, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he told her. But then, this woman didn't stop. This woman came and worshiped him. That's what it says in the Scripture. This woman came and worshiped who? The Lamb of God. Jesus the Christ. And he told her then, it's not meet to give the children's bread unto the dogs. And then she said it. Truth, Lord. He said it. It was true. It was true. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What did he say then? Great is thy faith, and your daughter's healed. That was a Canaanite woman. I like that. Now, he knew her faith was great because he's the one that gives faith. And it's his faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Behold the Lamb of God. That woman's daughter was healed that very hour. The second Gentile person who he said great faith was a Roman centurion. And that's in Luke 7. I'm not going to turn there. But he sent his servants to Jesus Christ to ask him to heal another one of his servants who was very dear to him, that servant would be healed. What did Christ say about this man? He told Jesus, I tell people to go and they go. I tell people to come and they come. I say do and they do. And you are the Lord. If you say it, it'll happen. And he told that man, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. This was a Roman centurion. And Jesus Christ made that servant whole. That time, at that time, and what I say to you is, that's him. Behold the Lamb of God. What he says happens. The Samaritan woman at the well and a whole Samaritan town, which a lot of people seem to gloss over. That's in John 4. Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. Why? To meet this woman at the well and to be in that town. He met a woman of Samaria, a woman been married 5 times, and he told her this and more. And Jesus told this woman, that's the one, you worship you know not what. What you worship, you don't know. Then he told this woman, who was now living with a man, not her husband, and this is one of the most glorious things in the Scripture. He told this Samaritan woman, at the well, that he was the Messiah.
He said, I'm he.
We'll understand this when Messiah comes. And she was right, because Messiah had come and was sitting right beside her on the well. Ah, I like that. He was the Messiah. The disciples marveled that he even spoke to this woman, a Samaritan woman. And because of the saying of this woman, that woman went off and told the town what he had told her. Come and see this man who told me everything I ever did. Who knew me inside and out and still talked to me. You understand? And still talked to me. And then they came. And some believed because of what she said, that they heard that she said. But then these people came from this town. And they heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the saying of this woman. But here it is. And he tarried there 2 days. 2 days. And many more believed. Why? Because of his own words. What happened? Well, I can tell you this. These people in that Samaritan town, these Samaritans, beheld the Lamb of God. And they heard the Lamb of God. And they believed. They believed. Last was this woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. It's in Mark 5. She touched the hem of his garment. And she was healed. She was healed. Hadn't spoken a word to Jesus Christ. But she heard he was there and she sought him out. And she found him and she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And that's what she did, and she was healed. Why? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, I like that. She sought him because he knew her. Here's the thing. A woman with an issue of blood is not even supposed to be in town. You're not supposed to be around people. You're supposed to separate yourself. She had this issue of blood for 12 years. And Christ healed her. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, we look to him. When it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. We're not looking to the faith. We're looking to him. Looking unto Jesus. Look. Look and live. We look to him who is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Oh, I like that. Behold the Lamb of God. We look to him for our life, eternal life. We look to him for his wisdom and his righteousness and his sanctification and his redemption, Paul. We look to him. Oh, we preach his message, and he is our message. And the purpose of the message is to point people to Jesus Christ. And our message is to look to Christ for all of your salvation. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Don't look to anyone or anything else. You know, considering, I know it's a strange thing to say, but considering percentages, I can just about say to anyone, and be truthful about it, you don't know who Jesus Christ is. Because most people do not. Few there be that find it, the straight gate and the narrow way. Few there be that find it. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him as he is. Whether he's clearing out the temple with a whip or he's healing a woman with an issue of blood, it's the same man. Whether he's saying, ye generation of vipers, or he's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh my. Whether he's talking to a Samaritan woman at the well or calling Pharisees and scribes hypocrites, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him as he is. He is the Redeemer and the giver of life and the giver of faith and the giver of peace and the giver of righteousness and the justifier from all sin and the perfect sacrifice and offering to the Father above. Behold the Lamb of God. There is salvation in no other. And there is all salvation in him. In him. The one to at whom, at his name, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth. Because Jesus Christ is all of this and more that we don't even know. Oh, he's more than we can know. When we say, behold the Lamb of God. I do have a song here. This is from Joseph Hart. It's from Romans 3, verse 24. It's got written beside it, free grace. So I like that part anyway already. Ye children of God by faith in his Son, redeemed by his blood, and with him made one. This union with wonder and rapture be seen, which nothing can sunder without or within. This pardon, this peace, which none can destroy, this treasure of grace, this heavenly joy, though worthless may crave it, it always comes free. The vilest may have it. 'Twas given to me. 'Tis not for good deeds, good tempers nor frames. From grace it proceeds, and all is the Lamb's. No goodness, no fitness expects he from us. This I can well witness, for none could be worse. Sick sinner, expect no balm but Christ's blood. Thine own works reject the bad and the good. None ever miscarry that on him rely, though filthy as Mary, Manasseh, or I. I like that. So what can I say to you? Behold the Lamb of God. I want you to know who he is. I want you to believe him as he is. And I want you to rejoice in Christ Jesus, because he is the Lamb of God. He is. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time and this place. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather together. We are your church, your assembled saints here in this place, and those listening, streaming, online, or by recording, however, television, Internet, your word is what we want to hear. Your word is what we want to preach. Your Son is in whom we rejoice. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given us. Be with Paul as he comes to speak. Be with Walter as he speaks in other places. Lord, be with us as we go forth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.